Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 11th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we focus on plumbing, and Ian Cowan is here. Ian of On the Level Plumbing. He's here to answer your questions and concerns about your latest plumbing project. To join the discussion, call now, call early, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tends to be a busy program after it gets rolling. Better to get in line now. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing here to answer your plumbing questions. We kick off after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we delve into the world of pipes, valves, and tanks with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. He specializes in everything from drain lines to well pumps and is in the studio to answer your questions. And, you know, maybe you're stuck with a maintenance issue or something, maybe the toilet is running. Well, give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ray. It's always a pleasure.
How's the summer going?
It's busy.
Very busy.
Very busy, yeah, but that's good.
Okay, well, I hope you get a little sleep.
I try.
Yeah, good. Anything new you want to talk about before we hit the phones?
I think it's a season for everything, so we could get any kind of call today. No frozen pipes today, I don't think.
Well, you never know. We do have a large reach. Let's go to Ryan in Warwick. Ryan, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So here's the reason why I'm calling up. We have an older house, but we have copper piping and PEX piping, no galvanized. And we're getting these big flux of rust that are coming in, and they're starting to clog up the washing machine, like where the inlet is, and the washing machine is not getting enough water. If I take the aerators off of the faucets, really anywhere in the house, we'll get these big flecks of rust. So I'm curious. I have a theory of where I think it's coming from, but I'm curious if that's something that you've ever come across.
Are you on a well, Ryan?
Yeah, we are in a well.
So sounds like it could be the well casing itself flaking off and getting in. Easiest solution is to put in a whole house dirt and rust filter, and then you may have to change that periodically. But you can also have a well company come out and they can re-drill your well, but that's fairly expensive.
Definitely.
Yeah, so just put on a filter, and then if it gets really bad, you can there's coatings and stuff they can put on the casing, and but that's all costly. So the inexpensive fix is get yourself a whole house filter. It goes in right after your well tank, which is either a big blue or a big gray tank. Put that in, and then that'll catch all your rust, and it'll save your faucets. And you can also pull out the washing machine hoses. Usually there's a screen inside the piping there that they connect to, and you can clean those out as well, because I heard you mention you're having trouble with the washing machine.
Yeah. No, you nailed it right on the head, because I pulled the top off of the well, and I could kind of see what I think was the casing starting to come apart.
So this was a trick question, Ryan. You just wanted to see if I knew what I was
testing
doing.
Him.
All right, I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, I said I had a theory, and you popped it right away. I wasn't sure if that was something that like even was real. So the casing, like, is that a big deal that that's starting to fall apart, or is that something I should worry about?
Nah, I wouldn't.
Really? Eventually it'll need replacement, though, won't it?
Eventually everything fails. That's the whole point of things. Yeah. Nothing lasts forever. Planned obsolescence.
Okay.
Otherwise, nobody'd have a job.
No, you make a point. Well, Ryan, hey, good luck
thanks,
with
Ryan.
That, and good job on your theory. Our guest is Ian Cowan, and our number is 800-348-2551. John in Pattersonville. John, you're on.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'm calling today because I recently installed a tankless water heater, and I'm getting the flame out message error code on a regular basis.
Uh-oh.
I was told to check the pressure of the gas. The pressure seems fine.
So
the next step seems to be to check the flow rate of the gas at the tank.
So here's very common. So usually we don't get it right now. Usually you'll get this in the wintertime. Did you install this yourself, or did you have somebody else install it?
Self did it.
Okay. So what you need to find out is it's always the gas line. Depending on the brand, and we don't get into specific brands, so I can't really mention this here, but there are a couple of brands that now have negative gas valves, so they'll actually draw the gas in. It'll pull it towards the unit, but most of the units out there don't have that. So you have to make sure that it's sized properly. And a lot of times, when we install these units, we need to do a meter upgrade, because you don't have a large enough meter. Most meters are 250,000 BTUs or 275,000 BTUs. These units usually
draw coming from a propane tank. I don't want to get you.
Okay. So it's not natural gas. So it's propane. So,
yeah.
Again, we're going to talk sizing, and that would make sense. Usually we see the demand on natural gas in the wintertime, but you're going to use your propane for your stove and probably your dryer and, you know, whatever else. So it's probably not sized properly. You probably need a larger inlet. So easy way to do it is call the manufacturer of whatever unit you bought. Ask them the sizing recommendations, because I'm assuming you can't test you're not going to be able to test water column because you probably don't have the equipment. So I would just call the manufacturer, tell them what you have, see what you need. They'll tell you to upsize the pipe going there, which is probably copper tubing, and then you should be fine. Okay?
Quick follow-up question, if I might. Does the size of the pipe coming out of the tank of propane matter? Because right out of the tank, it's down to a 3/8, and then they.
But then it goes to a regulator, right? And then it gets bigger.
No, it's smaller going to the regulator. It's 3/8 coming out of the regulator.
Oh yeah.
Do I need a different regulator?
Yeah, you may want to call your. So what I would do if I were you, again, I would call the manufacturer, find out what they need, and then take that information to your propane company and say, I just installed this thing. Can you upgrade me to this? And they can probably even run the new line for you. You know, it's 50-50 on whether they run lines or not. Sometimes they call in plumbers to do it. Sometimes they do it themselves. Mm-hmm. That's where you need to start, because you're not sized properly for that unit. Okay? It's very common.
Thank you
it
for
happens
your help.
A lot. No problem, John. Have a good day.
Our guest today is Ian Cowan, and the number is 800-348-2551. On this edition of Vox Pop, we go over to Rich in Whitesboro. Rich, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking the call. We got a problem with a shower stall, a standalone shower, and it's kind of made out of a plastic. I don't believe it's fiberglass. And the floor, the flat part where you step on, where it meets the, it's a circular shower, and where the floor meets the curve that starts to go up the wall, there's a crack about 7 inches long or so, and it flexes about only a 16th of an inch when you press down with your hand.
Mm-hmm. But it's leaking down below, right?
It was. This is a fairly recently installed shower.
Okay.
But underneath they had a concrete or cement floor. And I was just wondering what you would suggest as far as a possible alternative repairs.
Okay.
I would call the company that did it if it's recent, and I would make them fix it because it should be under warranty if it's less than a year. So the problem with that is you can't really repair that. It has to be replaced, unfortunately. Yeah. So your other option, if you have concrete down there, is you can use a shower pan, which is, they used to be lead. We used to have to beat them and bend them. Now they make them in vinyl. So you put a vinyl shower base, and then you put tile over that, and you won't have that issue, because they put gypcrete and then tile, and then you stand on that. Very common with those small showers to crack like that. But it has to be replaced.
Where would you get the shower pan?
Well, I would probably... If you're not familiar with installing them, I'd probably have a professional do it. But I mean, you can YouTube anything. They sell vinyl pans and glue, and because it has to fold and it has to bend, and the corners are really the hardest part. But you can, if you can wrap a gift, you can probably figure it out. But you can buy them at Home Depot, Lowe's, any plumbing supply.
Okay, Rich, thanks a lot for the call. That's a great point about YouTube. Mm-hmm. How many times a week does Ian Cowan get a call from some nitwit like me who says, you know, I saw it on YouTube, I tried to fix it myself, and I made it worse?
Never.
Never?
What I get is the wife calls and says, my husband tried this on YouTube, and now he told me to call when he wasn't here because he's embarrassed.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's take a break. Ian Cowan is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WMC comes from Culligan Water of Lenox, providing purified drinking water to the Berkshires and beyond for over 80 years. You could give your people Culligan Water. 413-499-1144 for information. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate liberal arts theater program with concentrations in design, technology, theater studies, and performance, newpaltz.edu/theater. George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services, including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses, 518-396-7974. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ian Cowan here of On the Level Plumbing. He is here to answer your questions. And the number is 800-348-2551. And it looks like it's Joanna's turn. Joanna in South Hadley, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon,
I have
Joanna.
A water conservation question for you. I have one rain barrel on the corner of my house that's most conducive to it. But years and years ago, I read something in hard copy about people beginning to install some gray water collection systems that would have to do with, like, sink water or, you know, rinsing from washing machines or showers, I guess, that could go to a collection unit of some kind, used on lawns or bushes that aren't vegetable gardens per se. Have you ever installed any of these, or do you have any thoughts about that? Because I think water conservation should be a higher priority, and water reuse should be higher priority in our minds. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. I think that it's very important. As the population grows, then we're going to need more and more water, and we need to recycle it and reuse it. So definitely glad that you're thinking about that. I have helped customers devise ways to do that. Very rarely do they need us for that. Usually they use buckets, they use 55-gallon drums, they use all these different things, and then either have us pipe them into it or they'll pipe into it themselves. It's just basically disconnecting anything that's not a toilet or a urinal. That's considered gray water. And then once I have seen systems, and I have put in systems that actually recycle the water after a septic tank, believe it or not, because then it goes in as what's called black water, and when it leaves, that's gray water. So I do have customers in the northern part of New York that like to do that.
Yeah,
like the Woodstock area.
Right.
So they also have the composting toilets that we talk about once in a while. So,
sure.
But
so it can be done.
It can be done, but it's very simple. I mean, basically, you're just using that water. The only thing I would worry about is what you're using it on, because you're probably using soaps and antibacterial soaps. So if you're trying to make something grow or you're trying to use something there, it's probably going to, you know, have some harm, unless you use, you know, all green products with, you know, for washing and soap and bathing and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so, I use all green products, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, no detergents even. And so that wouldn't be the issue. But I guess the question is, you know,
How to do it?
So
well, we'd have to.
I wouldn't be having to haul 5-gallon buckets up the cellar stairs. Yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily a 5-gallon bucket. You could put some kind of collection unit in your basement if you wanted to use things above, and then it drops into there, and then you could make a pump that would actually feed like a hose
or that kind
of thing. But without seeing your house, it's hard to figure out. I mean, I don't know if you're on just the ground level, if you have a basement, you know, somebody would have to look at it. But there's definitely easy ways to do it.
Where there is a will, there is a way.
Absolutely. And they make pumps that you can connect to, Joanne. Thank you for the call.
Very much appreciated. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest. And Jack in Albany is next. Jack.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in the uphill part of Albany, closer to the SUNY campus. Last Thursday, we had a tremendous flash flood here, 2.5 inches of rain in a half hour, three inches total in an hour, and a lot of people had flooded basements. And I was told after that, including me, it was like a fountain coming out of my sewer. And I was told by a plumber who came in that it would be a good idea to put in a backflow valve. Could you comment on that and whether that's a good idea or not?
So it's actually called a backwater valve, but same concept. Usually when we say backflow, we have a backflow preventer that's usually on a domestic or a fire protection water line. So a backwater valve is actually on a drain line. And basically all it is, it's a swing type check valve. So as your water goes out, it pushes this flap forward, lets the water out. If the water pushes back, it closes this flap and it doesn't allow the water back into your house. They're actually required in a lot of areas. They're actually code. In your area, they may not be.
Or it could be an old house, right?
Right. Or it could be an old house.
But house was built in 1925.
Yeah, so even in your area, we don't work this far up, but in your area, it may be, if you did renovations, you may be required to put one in. They're very common. The only thing you have to worry about is sometimes they get stuck closed, and you'll end up with a backup in your basement of your own sewage because it doesn't get
through. Well, that's not
good. So you just have to be mindful to check on them every once in a while. But they're a good thing to have if you have that kind of issue. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. And who's next? Okay, it looks like it's Ben. Ben in Stockbridge. Ben, you're on with Ian Cowan.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, thank you. It's actually Ken.
Ken, okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
Ken with a B. That's all right.
Ken with a K. Ken with,
yeah. Right, we got you.
Being silly, Ken.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
There you go. Very, very fine. So about 4 years ago, I had my well pump changed out. And when he did the servicing, he said, well, the only really maintenance that you need to do is periodically maybe drop a tablet of chlorine from the pool down into your well or add chlorine of sorts to the well. And, of course, I haven't done anything for 4 years. So is that something that's necessary? I mean, my well is clean as far as I know. The water tastes fine, but should I be paying attention to my well?
So kind of a tricky question. So without having your water tested, you don't really know what you need to do to the water. As a plumber, we test for three things. Usually we'll test for iron, pH, and hardness. Sometimes if there's a smell, we'll test for sulfur, a couple other things. But as far as bacteria, that's something that needs to be sent out to a lab. They need to test. If nobody's getting sick, you're happy with your water, then I wouldn't be too concerned. But I will tell you that you got semi-good advice with the chlorine. However, one pool tablet or just chlorine randomly is not going to help you. They actually make Chlorpel or Chlortabs that you pre-mix and then you drop in the well, or you can actually use like regular bleach if you want, but then you have to cycle that out. It has to sit for 24 hours, then you have to cycle that out so you don't drink it.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
You don't want to just put in a couple of tablets and start drinking your water, so you have to be careful with that. But there's directions on how to do that. The only time that we actually chlorinate a well is if somebody's selling the house, they have to do it in certain areas just because it's transfer of ownership. Anytime we do anything, if we raise or lower the well pump for any reason, we always do that because you scrape against the side. And like the first caller that we had today, part of the well casing gets jostled up and dropped down, and it stirs up dirt and all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
So we always do that whenever we touch a well. But as far as if you're not doing anything to the actual well itself and your water's clean, it's probably not necessary. Okay?
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ken.
And
with a B.
And let's go to Russell with an R in Beacon. Russell, you're on.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Very good. My question is about drainage against my house. There's about 3 feet between my neighbor's brand-new asphalt driveway and the basement of the house. And before this driveway was put in, it was an old dirt driveway, and it was kind of sunken, so the water drained down it fairly well. But now that it's got this asphalt raised up 5 or 6 inches and the drains off his house, the gutters, it's like a giant, area that doesn't get any drainage except when it spills over like a waterfall down on my side of the property. And there's only 3 feet between the edge of that driveway and my poured concrete basement in a 1930s home. And it floods the basement during heavy rains. What can I do to mitigate that flow of water? I think they should have done that when they put the driveway in because the driveway slants down towards my house.
So, unfortunately, Russell, this is, in my opinion, this is something you're going to have to take up with the city of Beacon and code compliance. If his addition of that driveway is now causing, you know, harm to your property, then
yes,
they should be able to look into that. On a side note, if for some reason they do, I'm very familiar with Beacon. We're licensed in Beacon. We work in Beacon all the time. But if okay. they should, they're very friendly there. The code enforcement people are great. You shouldn't have any issues. And it may, you know, give you a rocky relationship with your neighbor.
Yeah.
But other than that. And
well,
if,
the house is for sale. The house is for sale. It's now vacant.
Gotcha.
It's the elderly woman who lived there, it's the family moved her out, and they're trying to sell the house.
Gotcha.
But they put in the driveway to help sell the house.
Yeah.
And so, I feel that shouldn't have passed muster in terms of issue with drainage.
I would explain to, you know, the code enforcement there. I would go to the building department, tell them what's going on. If for some reason that it does pass code and there is no violation, the only thing you can do is maybe put in your own drain, like a trench drain there. Not a lot of room, so probably some of it's going to have to be hand dug, and then run a pipe to what we call going to daylight or going to air. So we run a pipe under the ground. It's got perforations in it. We put gravel around it, and then we run it out to a spot where it dead ends out somewhere, so it has to go down or a hill, or we have to tie into a storm drain, you know,
it's all sloping down in a way, which is nice in that respect. So yeah.
I would take that up with code compliance. I think that's your best bet.
All right, Russell, thank you very much. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest. Plumbing is the topic today. And let's go to Ed in Ulster County. Ed.
Hey. I have high-pressure air mixed with the water in my well, and I did call a couple weeks ago. And at that point, the air was kind of very random. It was like, you know, just little spurts of it here and there, but it has since kind of morphed into a situation where I'll go a day or two with no air in the water, but every day or two I'll get a whole lot of air all at once instead of random spurts mixed in. So I'm wondering if that would help diagnose what the source of the problem might be, information.
Did you check the things we told you to check last time? As far as the broken pipe?
I think you told me to see if I had, I wasn't able to. Didn't have anyone to help me, you know, make sure the pump was running while I was out looking at the well. You were telling me look for water spraying out.
Yeah, we're still going to look at the same things. It's probably a broken pipe near the pitless adapter. It could be a broken check valve at the bottom of the pump. It's still going to be the same issues. It's nothing's going to change it. How often it happens doesn't really help us at all. I mean, it depends on how much you use, how much water is being used, because you're going to drain down.
Well, I consistently use very little water, but it has markedly changed from a little bit randomly to a whole lot all at once just every couple of days.
Yep, and that would explain, because you don't use a lot of water. So it could be pushing back out of the tank. It could be, so there could be a check valve. Could be a check valve and a broken pipe. We're still looking at the same issue, unfortunately, Ed. You still have to check those things.
So the fact that it changed from a little bit scattered all throughout the day to a whole lot all at once doesn't narrow down the
Not really. It just means that wherever the leak is, it probably got worse. That's all. Sorry.
The amount of air seems to be less, actually.
The amount of air seems to be less. Huh. But you still think Ian is pretty...
I'm pretty sure we got to check the same things. We would still diagnose it the same way, and we would eliminate problems one at a time. There's really no other way to do it. Like I said, you can take the pipe off. You can put an air test on to see if it holds, see what's holding on the inlet side of the check valve. And you can check, you can pull the pump, you know, you can pull the casing off, you can run the pump and see if there's water spraying back from the pitless adapter. We can pull the pump up and see if the water stays in the pipe, because if it doesn't, it's leaking down through the pump itself, through a check valve. So we're still checking all the same things. Unfortunately, that doesn't narrow it down at all, Ed.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed. We appreciate the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And I believe it's Stephanie's turn. Stephanie in Brimfield, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was calling because we have a foul smell coming from just our cold water line in our kitchen.
Rotten eggs?
Yeah. It lasts for about a minute. We have to run the water for about a minute or two, and then it runs clear. But if I turn the water off for, like, say, 5 minutes, the smell comes right back, and it's only the cold water line.
Yep. So fairly easy fix. And it's not just your kitchen faucet. That's just happened to be where you notice it, because that's probably where you turn on your water first to make your coffee or whatever you're doing in the morning. And if you take a shower, that gas is lighter than air, so it comes out of the shower head and it goes up, so you don't notice it.
Yeah.
So very simple problem. If it's only in the cold, you can put in what's called an aeration tank, which will basically just the thing on your faucet is an aerator, so it spreads the water out and releases the gases. So basically there's a tank that sprays, the water comes in, sprays into the tank, and then you have a little tube that goes out, releases the gas. If it's in the hot and the cold, it's a little harder to get rid of, so you actually got pretty lucky, Stephanie.
Okay, well, a follow-up question then, I guess. If we were to fill like a gallon jug right when I turn on that water, the smell doesn't dissipate ever from that gallon.
Right, because it's now seeping into the plastic. So it's a gas. So what it is, sulfur, there's different types of sulfur. There's sulfur bacteria, and there's basically, the gases are the excrement of the bacteria.
Right.
So you need to just get the gases out of the way. If you trap gases in a plastic bottle, that plastic bottle is going to retain those smells and those gases. So basically, that aeration tank goes right after your well pump, and it would go right around, if you have any other water treatment or water softener, it's going to go in that spot right there. And then it just aerates out, gets rid of the gas, and then it goes through your softener, and then it comes in, and you don't have the problem anymore. It's sulfur is really tough, but on the cold only, it's usually a very simple fix.
Oh, okay. Good. All right, Stephanie, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Stephanie.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and Lillian in Kingston. Lillian, you're on.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello.
This is in reference to a niece. A problem my niece found out this morning that she has.
Oh, perfect timing.
Yes, exactly. I can't believe, really, that you're on.
Ha.
She has a million flies in the house. She called a pest control person. He said she's got something called a humpbacked, dark-eyed fly, brown-eyed fly, humpbacked, brown-eyed fly. And he says it's from the sewer. So which would be the septic tank.
So the pest control guys have a really, really good name for that, whatever that was. We just call them sewer flies. So.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he said it was humpbacked, black-eyed fly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So do you see any way through this?
Sure. Easy way is you have a plumber come out and perform either a smoke test or a peppermint test. You have
a
peppermint test.
Really?
Peppermint. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So basically, what we do is we plug up the vent on the top of your house where the pipe leaves and goes, and then we pump in smoke, or you use peppermint, and then you have to walk around smelling. But the smoke's the easy way.
Yeah.
So then we have a little smoke machine, and we pump in smoke into the drain lines, and it shouldn't come back up through the toilet because there's a trap built into the toilet, and then all of your sinks have traps, and those are to trap sewer gases, so they'll trap the smoke. So then you just walk around, and you see where the smoke's coming out. A lot of times it's a toilet that's not set properly. Very common, you'll get a new tile floor, and the tile guy's not a plumber, so he just pulls the toilet off, puts on the new tile that's a half inch thick, and now the toilet doesn't fit right, and the wax seal's not big enough. So that's the most common, but sometimes it's a cracked pipe in a wall. There's a lot of different things, but somehow there's an opening in your sewer line, somewhere between your septic and the roof, and the flies are getting out. So very simple with the smoke test. You can find it, and then the repair, unfortunately, you may have to open a wall or a floor or a ceiling, But it may not be that bad. I'm not trying to scare you.
No, I know.
But that's all it is. It's just it's a broken sewer line somewhere.
Thank you.
Or a toilet that's not set right.
That would be cheaper, right? A toilet that's not set right?
You can raise the flange pretty easily.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Lillian.
Thanks, Lillian.
Thank you.
Have a good one. We appreciate the call. Quickly, we'll get one more in before our next break. We'll go over to Michael in Poughkeepsie. Michael, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I own a mixed-use building in downtown Poughkeepsie, has four apartments in it, and over the weekend, one of our hot water heaters blew out. It was quite old. I was out of town, and I hired a plumber that I know to go in, and I've just realized that he replaced the hot water heater. He put it directly on the dirt floor, with no concrete block under it or anything like that. I'm curious, is that in violation of code?
Yeah, I don't think Gary's going to go for that. So that's your plumbing inspector out there.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go for that one. So probably not. Depending on, we're very familiar with the city of Poughkeepsie. Our office is actually right on Market Street. So, sometimes they require us to pour a cement pad. Sometimes they'll allow us just to put blocks down. Depends on the dirt. Depends on if anything is, you know. So if you had like a water leak or that water heater was running, now the dirt is not really settled. He may actually require you to pour a pad there underneath the heater. So I would just, and you are, by the way, in the city of Poughkeepsie, required to get a permit for a water heater. So you want to be very careful with that if you did not, because once they inspect it, they'll tell you what they want. But if you get caught putting in a heater without an inspection, there can be a fine for doing work.
If you have to replace a water heater, you have to get a permit?
Absolutely, 100%. And you should most places, but Poughkeepsie is really a stickler there.
For residential or for commercial?
Absolutely both.
That is weird, man. All right, thank you. We got to take a break here. 800-348-2551. The bureaucracy is everywhere. Ian Cowan is our guest, and we'll take more of your calls in a minute.
Support for WMC comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association. Helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley, we conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years. QFCC.com. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Providing custom display solutions, interactive exhibits, and rental gallery walls for special events, museum installations, and trade shows nationwide. EmpireExhibits.com. Curtis Lumber, featuring kitchen and bath showrooms with national designers, Murillat cabinets, Cambria quartz countertops, consultations available, CurtisLumber.com. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting fine art animals from the collection of the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie through October 21st. More at arkellmuseum.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ian Cowan, the guest today. It's plumbing, and we hit the home stretch here. And a couple of quick emails, Ian, and then back to the phones we will go. This one's from Ryan. And the subject heading is on-demand hot water. He writes, I have an on-demand electric hot water heater, but it hasn't been working properly since I rehabbed my home a few years ago. The water pressure in the house is very low, around 20, I think, so I had to put in a full tank water heater. Could the on-demand system not be working just because of the drop in pressure? What's the common pressure I should be shooting for?
Absolutely, 100%. It needs a, I take that back. It's not pressure, it's flow rate.
Okay.
So, difference, and we've gone through this on other shows, but there's a difference between pressure and flow rate. So those heaters are set to turn on based on flow rate. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting the flow rate, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So 20 PSI is pretty low. Usually city water or town water is somewhere between 60 and 70,
mm-hmm.
Usually around 55 to 65, but usually right around 60.
Okay.
Well tanks, unless you have a constant pressure system, are usually set from 30 to 50 or 40 to 60, and that's
okay.
The differential.
Yeah.
They do make a 20-40 switch, so it is okay to use 20, but I would say, depending on what you're doing, I would want my pressure. I like to take nice showers, so I want my pressure higher, but I would say shoot for 40 to 60 minimum.
Okay.
Don't go over 70, though, because then you can start to blow seals and toilets and faucets.
And so, we would not want that.
No.
This one is from a regular correspondent, Sheila. Subject heading, plumbing vox pop. Aha, that's us. Sheila writes, whenever I have had leaks around my house, it has always been the hot water that has been leaking. My friends say the same thing. Are hot water pipes more prone to leaks? If so, why is that?
Well, yes, sort of. Depends. So,
well, that's not okay. That, I gotta say, that's not a concrete answer.
No, I mean, leaks can come from anywhere, but hot water is... you can get things from your hot water heater. You can get, there's a reaction when you heat and cool water. So,
right.
Yes, it can change. You can draw things out of the water that will eat up your pipes. we've talked about frozen pipes. The hot water lines actually freeze faster, so those will break faster. So there is some truth to that.
Okay.
But it really depends.
And you just said the hot water lines freeze faster.
I did, absolutely.
Now, you know, I do the science forum. In fact, we have one tomorrow. That topic has come up more than once.
And it is correct.
And sometimes the scientists are on the fence about that.
So then tell the scientists to take a tray of ice cubes, fill one with cold water, fill one with hot water, put it in the freezer, and see which one freezes faster. Just because they're scientists don't mean they're smart.
Oh, you know, I got the show tomorrow. And
I went to school for engineering, Ray. That doesn't make me a good plumber. It's got nothing to do with it.
But you are a good plumber.
Right. That's for something else. That's engineering has nothing to do with it.
All right. Okay. I think you're going to have trouble plumbing your way out of this one. All right. Let's go to Kathleen in Voorheesville. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi. I just have a question about water softeners. My house, which I bought 11 years ago, had a water softener, an old Culligan system, and it clearly is not working anymore. I'm tempted to not replace it and just leave it, but I'm wondering what the consequences of that would be.
So I would say have your water tested. And
okay.
Most places will do that for free. They'll do a water. We do water tests for it. Most everybody does it because we're looking to sell equipment. So just being honest with you, if you have bad water and you need treatment, I want to be the guy in there testing your water for free.
Well, it's town water.
Okay. So I would still, you know, still test it because sometimes there's chlorides, there's, you know, things that the town adds that you may want to take out. But then once you get that water test, just do a little research and figure out if those are things that you want to, for your own health or safety, take out. And if not, then don't worry about it. The things that you want to worry about for your plumbing are the three things we talked about earlier. They're going to be hardness, pH, and iron. Those are the three things that we test for. And if you're on town water or city water, the only problem you may have usually is pH. A lot of times when the water's treated, the pH is too low or too high, and then we adjust for that. But you shouldn't have any problem with iron or hardness usually, depending on where you live. And I'm not familiar with your area, so I can't tell you. But
okay,
just
in terms of, you mean like the washing machine, toilets, that kind of stuff?
Absolutely, because that's we usually treat water to save your plumbing, not to save you. The very few instances do we have bacteria or things that will harm you. We usually do it to treat your plumbing. But again, if you get back your hardness test and you're, you know, we recommend treatment after 3 grains of hardness, they call it. But you can probably get away with 3 to 5 grains or anything less than that and probably be okay.
We do have a reverse osmosis for water, so.
We've talked about those too.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of those because they take everything out. So you have nothing in there. And the older systems used to use 3 gallons to make 1 gallon, so you were wasting a lot of water.
Yeah.
So it depends on what you're looking for. If you want water that has absolutely nothing in it, then RO is the way to go. But if you want something that's going to give you a little bit of nutrients, but you don't want hard water, you don't want, you know, the pH, then you can treat your water. But it's entirely up to you. It's your house and your water. So I would say get the test done. It's free. Somebody will do it for you. And then you do a little don't let them sell you on something just because you have it. Do a little research on your own. Just, you know, go on the internet and look up whatever it is that you have. And then decide from there whether you want treatment or not.
All right, Kathleen. Thanks a lot for the call. Can't you do a test on your own? Can't you buy a kit and do a test?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, I know you can test pH like you would a pool, but
yeah.
I mean, the kit that I carry around cost us like $1,600. And if I'm a homeowner, I don't want to spend $1,600 on a test kit to try once.
$1,600 for a test kit?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Really?
You think I want to? I don't make the test kits. I just buy them.
All right. All right. Let's not make this into a 60 Minutes episode. Gerard in Red Hook. Gerard, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? I have a quick question, which is, when a well is dug, right, they put like a steel casing down to the source of the water, and then the water pump is attached to like a 1.5-inch black hose, and that's dropped. Is that correct?
Close. Polypipe, but yes.
Okay. My question is that once the steel pipe starts to corrode, can you line the pipe with like a PVC pipe, like, you know, a 5-inch PVC pipe cannot be slid down inside the steel? Liner?
Yes, but it's a special pipe, and well drilling companies do that. The problem, if you were to use like a 4-inch PVC pipe, then you've got your couplings, which are going to be larger on the outside. Then, you know, you couldn't use a 5-inch because it wouldn't fit in the 6. And then you have to go down, you have to make sure you don't go too far, because then you're going past where the screens and strainers are at the bottom of the well casing. So, yes, it can be done, but it should be done by a professional well drilling company. But, yes, okay. It definitely can be done.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gerard. We appreciate it. Over to Betty Ann in Castleton. Hi, Betty Ann.
Well, hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question on a burping drain. I had a bathtub replaced back in January. I had a walk-in bath or walk-in shower mm-hmm. put in its place, and while the construction people were there, they also replaced the toilet for me. They put in a taller seat, all for my elderly father who lives with me. And ever since then, I've had the drain in the shower burps. Every time you flush the toilet, I get a burp. So my son told me that's not good. Your plumbing should not be speaking to you. And he suggested that I have my septic tank cleaned out. So I had that done, and I also had the pipe from the septic to the house cleared out as well. It still burps.
Can I what make do a I guess? Do?
We're going to let Ray go with this one.
Could this be a venting issue?
No, the reason is we get this call a lot, and Ray knows the answer because he listens.
Yes.
So did you get one of those walk-in tubs, or did you get a shower? What did they put in? Does it have like a door? Is it a tub that has like a door on it? They make those for elderly people?
No. They completely took out the tub and put in the shower pan bottom,
yep.
And it's tiled up.
So the problem a lot of times with a shower is going to be, and the problem with this is going to be your vent, like Ray said. Always you're allowed to have an inch and a half pipe as a drain for a bathtub. A shower requires a 2-inch drain because you've got a larger volume of water.
Oh, yeah.
So they probably didn't upsize it. It's probably too much for the pipe to handle, and or the vent is clogged somewhere, or they reconfigured some of the piping and they didn't put the vent back. A lot of times with remodels, we'll come in and we'll find that it's usually like remodel guys instead of a plumber, and they think, oh, I can just put this anywhere, and they don't realize that it needs a vent. I would say that 90% of making somebody a plumber is knowing and understanding venting. So it's something with your vent, and I would have a professional plumber look at it to see what was done. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks
a lot. Venting is so important. Nothing works without it.
That's correct. And you learned this, Ray.
From you, Ian Cowan. And also I've learned from having much plumbing problems at my house. Let's go to Jim in Albany. Jim.
Yeah, hi. Hello?
Hello. Yes, we're here. Yep. We're here.
Yeah, sorry. We have a multi-unit building, and we have galvanized drain pipes in the building, some of which we're afraid are going to start to leak.
They will.
Question is, there is some sort of an insert that we can use to seal those pipes instead of removing them. And we called the company, and they said they could come and put a camera down, but they would have to remove the toilet in each unit in order to get the camera down.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering.
That is correct, because they have to check each line from each toilet. But I would be hard pressed to believe that. I don't work in Albany, but that you have galvanized drain lines from the toilet. They would usually be the sinks and the tubs, and it would usually be cast iron from the toilet. To run a 3 or 4-inch galvanized line from a toilet is highly unlikely. But the galvanized pipes going from all of your sinks are probably not going to be able to be camered. Very few people, if any, will have a camera that small to go in. As a matter of fact, I don't even know that they make one long enough. We have one that, you know, I can go like 10 feet with, and that's it. But the cameras that we use for the 3 and 4-inch drains, you know, go 200, 400, 600 feet. So I'm not sure that the camera is really going to help you in the situation that you want, because you're probably more looking at the drain lines from the sinks and the toilets, not the toilets, I'm sorry, the sinks and the tubs and the showers and the kitchens, that kind of thing. So
I think you're 100% right.
Okay, thank you. That's good.
I was questioning why, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay anybody to camera those lines, because the cast iron is going to hold up a lot better than the galvanized. And the problem with the galvanized is, yes, there are pipelining systems, but they're not usually used on galvanized. I've never done one, just because what happens with galvanized piping is it's steel piping with a galvanized plating. That plating starts to deteriorate, corrode, and then it actually shrinks the size, the inside diameter of the pipe, because it's all rusted and corroded. So if you cut one of those out and you cut it in half and you look at it, you may have an inch and a half pipe, but you only have a half inch hole going through because of all the rust. So you can't really line that. So unfortunately, I always recommend replacement anytime I see galvanized pipes. And it's more of a preventative thing if it's not leaking now, because it eventually will. Because we haven't used that in years. So if it's in there, it is old and it's going to go bad. I'm sorry to, give you the bad news, Jim.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks, Jim. Over to Roberta in Lenox, Mass. Roberta, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much. You may have covered this already in today's show, because you did mention it briefly a short time ago. But I have a water system that was just recently checked by, it's like a Culligan water softening system, and the pH is 6.2. And he said it's dangerously low and it's going to eat out the copper pipes, and they want to put in another side-by-side system for, you know, a couple of $1,000 to treat that, and I'm not sure if that's the way to go and what my options are.
So I know we have to be quick here, but absolutely, thank you for the call. 6.2 is low. Anything, if you remember chemistry class, 7 is neutral. Above 7 is alkaline or base. Below 7 is acidic.
Sure.
So, and you have to think about that kind of like the Richter scale. So 6 is 10 times as bad as 7, and 5 is, you know, 10 times worse than 6.
Right.
So 6.2 is pretty bad, and it should be treated. But there's a couple of ways to treat it. I like an acid neutralizer. It's very simple. It's very easy. You don't have to mix anything. There are other, you know, products. There's potassium permanganate. There's other things that you can mix, soda ash, this kind of stuff. But it puts a lot of work into the customer's hand, or you're paying a lot to have somebody maintain that.
Right.
So just a basic acid neutralizer. The mix gets filled in. It's a 2 cubic foot tank. The mix gets installed every 2 years, and you're done, and you don't have to worry about it. Yes.
So that's basically what they're saying they're going to do. It's some kind of lime something.
So there's a couple of different ways to treat it. And like I said, I would go with a basic acid neutralizer. I wouldn't get anything that needs to be mixed, and I wouldn't get anything that they need to come out every 3 months and do for you, or you need to do, because if you mix it improperly, it's not going to work anyway.
Right.
Okay, because I'm not there. It's like a vacation home, so I'm not there. So it just needs to be like, you know, like
so a basic
rinse and repeat for that.
Yep, basic acid neutralizer. You change the media. You add media, basically, because it absorbs. You add media every 2 years. If you get a 2 cubic foot tank, every 2 years you add it in. Okay,
but basically, are you saying I should be doing this, or they?
No. If you're not there, you can pay them to do it.
But yeah.
I'm saying don't pay somebody to come out every 3 months to mix soda ash for you, because you don't need that.
Yeah. No, they just wanted to install a unit, but it was a couple $1,000 that did it automatically, and I wasn't sure if that was the right thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, it sounds like the right thing.
All right, Roberta, thanks. All right, very quickly, Ann and Sharon, Connecticut. We only have about 30 seconds for you. Okay.
No.
No. Rats. Well, man, now I'm really in trouble.
Now you're down to 20.
Okay. Well, there's no point, because it's taking me a couple of minutes.
Well, it says you have a standalone shower with no hot water. That's what the subject heading says on my computer. Is that right?
Thank you. Yes. And the immediately adjacent sink works fine. It's a very old house.
So very quickly.
It used to take 5 minutes.
Very quickly.
Until we got the hot water.
Very quickly. It's probably a problem with the cartridge. So if it's a single handle, it's going to be one cartridge. Yeah. If it's two handle, there's going to be two stems or cartridges. And that's probably where your problem is. And that's very easy.
So the cartridge is easy to replace. maybe. But what if it's a very old fixture?
You can still find them. You just may have to look online. You may have to go to a specialty supply house.
Is that behind the silver plate?
Yes, but you if you're going to take it off yourself, make sure you turn the water off first.
Oh, good plan.
Hot and cold must be off.
And that's where we will have to leave it. Ian Cowan, wow, we got right to the very end.
We got a lot in today, Ray. Thank
you
for having me.
Good job, man. So we'll see you, in the fall?
Whenever you call me back.
All right, I don't do any of that.
I know. James.
My producer, Jim the Hammer, Lavoulis, takes care of all that stuff. Support comes from Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998, WindyHollowVet.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com. Capital Roots, making fresh, local produce accessible to Capital Region neighborhoods. Healthy, affordable food should be a right, not a privilege. CapitalRoots.org for more. And the University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers. Albany.edu/theater. Thanks once again to Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing for being here today. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer, yawning, but you stayed awake. Well done, old boy. Your phones are answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, the scientists return for the Science Forum. Right now, stand by for news.